Coming to you again, another edition of the Word of the King, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verses 1 through 8. who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing. A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face should be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. But the word of a king is, there is power, and you may say unto him, what doest thou? On this edition of the word of the king, we're going to continue here looking with our series of Woman, the World, the Church. We're going to try to conclude with that this evening. This night, this day, here in the Word of the King. If you would like to open up your Bibles while, and when we speak of the Word of the King, we speak of none other than the King James Authorized Version of 1611. If you would like to open up your Bible to Isaiah chapter 3, and I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer, and then after I open us up in a word of prayer, we're going to get into a couple of more flowers from a Puritan's garden by C.H. Spurgeon. And then we'll get into our hymn for the week. This week we're going to be doing the hymn Beneath the Cross, looking at the history behind that particular hymn. So let us open it with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come to you now, dear Lord God. Thank you, dear Lord God, again, Lord God, now for another opportunity to lift up and to magnify the word of you, the King. Kings, Lord of Lords, as you've preserved it for us in the English language in the AV 1611. I pray now, dear Lord God, that your spirit will go forth, dear God, in more power thereof, dear God, through your words, dear God, through this unworthy vessel of mercy, for prepared unto glory, dear God, so unworthy of your mercy, so unworthy of your grace, dear God, so worthy of damnation, and yet, dear Lord God, you grant me salvation, dear Lord God, and I thank you and I praise you for that, dear Lord God, and even so, dear Lord God, I would ask you now, Lord God, the souls listening, dear Lord God, that have yet, dear Lord God, to receive, dear Lord God, of the salvation of you, the Lord, dear Lord God, as, Lord, you would work in their hearts, dear Lord God, as those ordained to eternal life, dear Lord God, and grant them repentance, the acknowledgement of the truth, dear Lord God, and cause them even this day, this night, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved, dear Lord God. And Lord God, for those who are saved, dear God, that they would, dear God, as a result of this message, dear God, be all the more, dear God, conformed to the image of your only begotten Son, dear God, and all the more provoked into love and to good works and to holiness, dear God, and that we would all the more render holiness and obedience unto you, Lord, and love you all the more, dear God, as our love for you and for one another would abound, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, from page 30 through 132 of Flowers from a Puritan's Garden by Charles Adams Spurgeon, I'm going to now read. And the first one is entitled, I'm going to read, Calvin and His Lord. And this flower from a Puritan's garden reads as follows. What if my master should come and find me idle? Said Calvin to his friends, who demanded of him why he wasted his body in such constant labors. Few are like-minded so as to put this question to their souls. Am I as I would wish to be, should Christ come? And Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, comments. This question may serve as a test as to our manner of life. Am I in such a state as I would wish to be in should my Lord appear? If we can answer this to our comfort, all is well. But if not, by all means, let us mend matters. Get out of our Deshebel. And that word, by the way, has to do with the state, our coming Lord. Rarely did Calvin fight under the heap of disorders, and if we would be approved at the last, we must imitate him in a constant diligence, born of seeing him who is invisible. Lord, make me to hear thy footfall evermore, and cause me so to live as though I heard thee at the door. On page 131, I continue with this one entitled, The Invention of Fresh Weapons, and this flower from a Puritan's garden read as follows. As in war, as the arts of battery and methods of destruction do increase, so also doeth skill and fortification. So in the church God still bestoweth gifts for the further. We are glad to see our author writing so cheerily, for at this present it seems to us that our adversaries have been far more acute in assailing the gospel than the church in defending it. Still, on God's side, it is true that though his ministers may not be as faithful as they should be, yet he raises up one and another to stand as bulwarks for the truth. And so, after all, the grand old cause is not quite overborne. To the end of the campaign, it will be so. And there is no real cause for despair or even for despondency. The fortress of the gospel is still unconquered. Her motto is Invicta. Invicta meaning undefeated, unconquered. The gospel has survived the brutal ignorance of many ages, and if now the world has changed its fashions and professes itself to be wise, the same eternal system of truth will continue to baffle its designs, are a gain to believers, for they produce a clearing and opening up of truth. Opposition directs attention to neglected doctrines, and heresy calls for orthodox replies. And so our defenses become stronger as our enemies become more furious. Happy citizens to be thus shielded from the foe. And the next one is entitled Homeward Bound. And Puritan's Garden reads as follows. A poor beast that is going homeward goeth cheerfully. And C.A. Spurgeon comments, see how the horse pricks up his ears and quickens his pace when you turn his head to his stable. The proverb saith that even the dull ass doeth the same. Much more than should intelligent Christian men feel the attractions of their heavenly home. Courage, brothers and sisters. We, too, are homeward bound. Every hour brings us nearer to the many mansions. We are not going from home, or we might hang our heads. Our way is toward the Father's house on high. Therefore, let us rejoice at every step we take. And that is flowers from Puritan's Garden by C.H. Spurgeon. Again, put out by the banner of Truth Trust. You can go to the website, www.banneroftruth.org. Also say here as we get ready to go here to 101 Hymns. Kenneth W. Osbeck will be this week's hymn. Let me just also let you know, dear listeners, that if you would like to email me for any reason, you may do so. The Word of the King. That's the Word of the King. AV1611@hotmail.com. Again, that's the Word of the King. AV1611@hotmail.com. If you would like to email me for any reason, or if you would like to write for any reason, you may also send anything you would like to write to Post Office Box 70024. That's Post Office Box 70024, Staten Island, New York. That's Staten Island, New York, zip code 10307. Now, this week, on page 40, page 41, I'll be at 39 through 41. We hear one of one hymn stories by Kenneth W. Osbeck, the hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And the author, Elizabeth C. Clefane, born 1830 and lived to 1869. The composer, Frederick C. Maker, born 1844 and lived to 1927. The two names, St. Christopher, and the scripture reference, Isaiah 32, verse 2, and 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I read, concerning the history behind this hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. This meaningful hymn was written by a frail Scottish Presbyterian woman of the past century who, despite her physical frailties, was known throughout her community for her helpful, cheery nature. Elizabeth Cecilia Douglas Clefane, one of the few women hymn writers of Scotland, was born in Edinburgh, Scotland, but grew up in Melrose, Scotland, in the lovely area of Abbotsford, near the old bridge described by the well-known Scottish writer Sir Walter Scott in his book, The Abbot and the Monastery. Her father was a county sheriff. Her mother, a descendant of the famous Douglas family. Elizabeth was one of three sisters, but she was known as the delicate, retiring member of the family. Yet within the limits of her strength, she served the poor and sick of her community, and she and her sisters gave to charity all they did not actually require for their daily needs. Throughout the Melrose area, Elizabeth was affectionately known to townspeople as the Sunbeam. Elizabeth enjoyed writing poems and had several published in a Scottish Presbyterian magazine entitled Family Treasury. However, the majority of her writings appeared anonymously in this magazine in 1872, 3 years after her early death at the age of 39. Beneath the Cross of Jesus was written by Miss Clefane in 1868, 1 year before her death. It was not published, however, until 1872 when it appeared anonymously in the Family Treasury with several of her other poems. The original poem consisted of five that are used in most hymnals. It is obvious that Elizabeth, like most Scottish Presbyterians of her day, was an ardent Bible student, for her hymn is replete with biblical symbolism and imagery. For example, in stanza 1, the reference to the mighty rock is taken from Isaiah 32, verse 2. The reference to the weary land is taken from Psalm 63, verse 1. The reference to home within the wilderness is taken from Jeremiah 9, verse 2. The reference to rest upon the way is taken from Isaiah 28, verse 12. The reference to noontide heat is taken from Isaiah 4, verse 6. The reference to burden of the day is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. Elizabeth Clefane is also the author of the 99 tune for this text named St. Christopher Etymophon, particularly means bearer of Christ. It was composed for this organist in the English nonconformist churches of that day. Maker was born in Bristol, England, and he spent his entire active life playing in the various churches of that city. Frederick Maker contributed a number of hymn tunes to the 1881 edition of a hymnal called the Bristol Tune Book. He is also the composer for the hymn, A Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, found in one or one more hymn stories, number 19. And this ends here on page 41 with a couple lines here, number of lines here, written by James Montgomery in 1822. Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power, your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn of Jesus Christ to pray. see him at the judgment hall, beaten, bound, reviled, arraigned. See him meekly bearing all, love to man his soul sustained. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn of Christ to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle time, God's own sacrifice, complete, die. And that is the history behind this hymn, entitled Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And I will now sing unto the Lord. May your spirit be blessed as I sing this now. Beneath the cross of Jesus. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noonday heat and the burden of the day. Upon that cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. I take across thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. And that is Beneath the Cross of Jesus by Ludwig C. Clefain. Again, born 1830, lived 1869. And again, if you've not already done so, open up to Isaiah chapter 3. And as you're opening up, those of you who have not already opened up to Isaiah 3, let me just, again, remind you, there's www.contendingfortruth.com. That's the website of Dr. Scott Johnson. Now, I don't know if he's posted anything up again. I know here recently it's actually taken Brother Scott a little bit longer to get some more audios up, longer than normal. I don't know if he's finally posted some new audios up by now or not, but nevertheless, even if he hasn't, I would encourage you to still go to his site, www.contending4frtruth.com, and if anything, go to the search box and put something in there and see what pulls up. And listen to some of his older messages, some other things that he's posted there at his website. And then also www.thecommonsenseshow.com. That's www.thecommonsenseshow.com. That's the website of Dave Hodges. And he has his program that he puts up there on the site. It's usually just under an hour long. His most recent program that he has up there is with a gentleman named Steve Quayle, talking about the evil empire beneath the ice, talking about some things that are going on up in Antarctica with the leaders of the world and these evil times. And then there's also www.naturalnews.com. www.naturalnews.com. That's the website of Mike Adams. And then there's I didn't mention this one yet, but I'll mention it tonight. www.brightteon. That's B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N. Brightteon.com. There's actually a link to brightteon.com on Mr. Adams' site at naturalnews.com as well. There's a lot of good information there exposing as well all that is going on, all the madness going on with all this COVID pandemic. And again, I say pandemic because that's what it is. This thing was totally pre-planned. Again, it's all down there, New World Order, Antichrist agenda. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is going to have a derision. He that sitteth in the heavens, indeed, is laughing because he knows in the end that he is ultimately in control and he is going to have his way. And then there's also, of course, our website at www.holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's www.holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. And then www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's the website of Brother John Paterno as well. I encourage you to go and check out any number of those websites. And again, we covet your prayers. Indeed, we covet your prayers. Okay, and on that note, Isaiah chapter 3. I'm going to go ahead here. I'm just going to read the entire chapter here to start off. And again, we're basically concluding here tonight with basically the final part here of series on the woman, the world, church. And the very verse prior to Isaiah 3, verse 1, very end of chapter 2 is very appropriate to start off with. How appropriate an exhortation. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Dear listener, God makes it very clear, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Are you trusting in man? Or are you making flesh, human flesh, your arm? Because if so, cease ye from man. I exhort you, I encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself commands you, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? In Isaiah 3, verse 1, starting in verse 1 again, we're going to read down through the entire chapter here. Behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou art clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because the eyes of his glory. The shoe of their countenance doeth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. But mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts. The Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their claws and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings,
the rings, and those jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon. Excuse me here just a moment. We see here in the context of what we just got done reading here in Isaiah chapter 3 that obviously the women here in these days here, the prophet Isaiah, or howbeit God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah, these women here in Isaiah's day, they were obviously more concerned, obviously, with the outward apparel than they wore, the inward beauty that God commands and desires from a woman. And on that note, if you hold your place there, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1, read down through verse 9. The Word of God declares, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And all I would say on this note, if I may interject here, just one thing, is the saying, actions speak louder than words. And when it comes to you and I, dear listener, our actions oftentimes speak louder than our words. And if what words we do speak are to carry any weight at all with those around us, then the action has to be speaking just as loud, if not louder, than those words. Again, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 3, again down through verse 9, he's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Again, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And again, when we're exhorted in verse 8, finally be ye all of one mind, that one mind, of course, is the mind of Christ. Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And also, now, if you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, again, holding your place back there in Isaiah chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, read verses 9 through 15. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence all subjection. I suffer not the woman to teach, nor to use authority over the man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. These verses, I mean, this passage of Scripture here, much comment was made upon that in the previous message that was done concerning the woman, the world, the church. If you would listen to parts 1 and 2, you will certainly hear the discourse that was done on those verses of Scripture there. If you listen again, parts 1 and 2 of Woman, World, and the Church. But yeah, here in Isaiah's day, if you go back now to Isaiah chapter 3, they were very much, the women, they were very much more obsessed with the outward than the inward. And, of course, when we consider verse 16, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. We see that there was obviously a spirit of pride there as well that was manifested much through the women of Isaiah's day. And on that note, as we go through here, I'm going to read from time to time portions from this book, The Jezebel Spirit by Francis Frangipane. And I just want to say that aside from, you know, what you might define as some charismatic tendencies and the fact that he doesn't use the pure Word of God in the English language, he doesn't use the King James here. I must say that aside from those things, this book, The Jezebel Spirit by Francis Frangipane, is very, very good and very, very much worth reading. And when it comes to reading any books that are written by men, you always have to know how to basically take in the meat and spit out the bones, as they say. But I would say here with this book, The Jezebel Spirit by Francis Frangipane, there's much, 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 much more meat, and there's very few bones. Much, much more meat to be taken in and very few bones to be spit out. It's a very good book. And on this note here, even as reference was made again here in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16, moreover the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. So we see the pride there. I would let of the Spirit here to go and read from page 14 here from the Jezebel Spirit by Francis Frangipane. And I read here from page 14, starting here down through here in titles here. It says here, what Jezebel hates. Jezebel's worst enemies are prophets. Now, he says prophets, but just say you're preachers, okay? Because basically, the preachers, the Word of God talks about despise not prophesying. It's basically when one speaks, when a preacher preaches from the Word of God, and he speaks the words of God, he's speaking the very words of prophecy, the very words of God himself. Jezebel's worst enemies are prophets. Her worst fear is that the people will embrace repentance. Jezebel hates repentance, though this spirit will infiltrate the church, masking its desire for control with true Christian doctrines. It will hide from true Jezebel hates humility. Jesus taught that greatness in the kingdom was not measured in what we seem to be, but in childlike honesty of heart. A true ministry is willing and eager to be submitted and accountable to other ministries. and is typical of those who are servant-minded. Therefore, we must learn that spirituality is measured in meekness, not power. Jezebel hates prayer, intercessory prayer, pries her fingers off the hearts and souls of men. It sets people free in the spirit. When you pray, it binds her. When you pray against immorality, it cripples her. When you pray for a submissive heart, it is like the trampling of Jehu's horse upon her body. Jezebel hates the prophets out against her. The prophets, preachers, are her worst enemies. When she wars, it is to stir people against the message of the prophetic church more than she hates prophets, i.e. preachers. She hates the word they speak. Her real enemy is the spoken word of God. Let me just interject right there, dear listener, and say, even Francis Frangipane himself says it right there. Her real enemy is the spoken word of God. Okay, if you're going around and you're saying, thus saith the Lord, but you're saying something other than what is written in the book, from Genesis to Revelation, Jezebel doesn't fear your words because your words are not the word of God. Not if it's not written from Genesis to Revelation. Hatred is against God himself. She hates the grace God lavishes upon his bondservants even after they sin. She hates the fact that God will take the weakest and lowliest and use them to bring her down. She hates the holiness and purity of heart that comes from God and surrounds those who serve in his courts. And then he has a model prayer here, and I'll even go ahead and I'll pray this right now. You can certainly agree with me, dear listener, you who are saved. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we submit to you and your standard of righteousness. We ask for purity, meekness, and holiness of heart. Forgive us for our tolerance of the spirit of Jezebel in both our minds and our deeds. In verse 12 here of Isaiah chapter 3, continuing here in Isaiah chapter 3, looking over here at the chapter here in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, is, for my people are their oppressors, and women rule over them, O my people. They which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Now, when I think of children being one's oppressors, you know, I think of spoiling. You know, how is it that you can know that children are your oppressors or the children are somebody else's oppressors? Wherever the children are being spoiled, because ultimately wherever children are being spoiled, children usually have control. And it's only when whoever is dealing with the children have the ability and the strength to tell the children no from time to time when they need to be told no, and not always give them every little thing that they want, that children are then being put in their place. But a lot of times what you see a lot of times these days, with a lot of people these days, even in, you look at our own country here in the United States of America, the kids are oftentimes very, very, very spoiled. Don't manifest the strength and the ability to say no to the children as they ought to say no. And hence, kids, they get spoiled. They're oftentimes given every little thing that they want, so it seems. And so it was in Isaiah's day. Safe to say the children were being, as it were, spoiled. There's one reason why. You can all the more rest assured that this was the case. Look at verse 14. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. So even as the spoil of the poor was in their houses, here in this context, we read in Isaiah chapter 3, there was spoiling going on. There was spoiling going on for sure. And the children themselves were amongst the ones being spoiled. And hence, children were their oppressors. And women rule over, sure sign of judgment on any nation is when women rule over the people. And all I'm going to say on this note, Hillary Clinton, I'm going to mention the name Hillary Clinton. I mean, back there in 2016, we nearly got a woman ruling over us, and Hillary Clinton. It was only by the grace of God that Donald Trump actually did get in there. Not that I don't think Donald Trump at the end of the day is in bed with them as well. But nevertheless, I still believe it was the mercy of God that had him get in there and not the woman, Hillary Clinton. Because as much as people would maybe try to debate that the judgment of God is upon the United States of America, I guarantee you if Hillary Clinton had gotten in office, there would not be any much debate, let's put it that way. Because you would have a woman, would have had a woman ruling over this nation. Not that I still don't think the judgment of God is upon the United States of America, even with Joe Biden in, because obviously God's judgment is still upon the United States of America for obvious reasons. And one of the reasons why God's judgment is currently upon the United States of America is the same reason why God's judgment was upon Israel in the city of Jerusalem in Isaiah's day. In verse 9, we read Isaiah 3, "The shoe of their countenance doeth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." There is a lot of declaring of sin as Sodom going on in these United States of America. And, of course, I'm sure you've heard of quote-unquote gay pride. "And the proud in heart are an abomination of the Lord, and no hand join hand, they shall not go unpunished." And again, that word gay means happy, and there is no such thing as a happy sodomite. There's no such thing as a happy homosexual. Not before the living God. In verse 4 of Isaiah 3, God says, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Verse 5, "And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." Again, the book of Proverbs tells us that before honor is humility, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. For destruction, the heart of man is haughty, we're told in the book of Proverbs. We're also told in the book of Proverbs, "Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall." And certainly, we see here in Isaiah's day, verse 13 of Isaiah chapter 3, "The Lord standeth up to plead, standeth to judge the people." The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord, when he was manifested in the flesh and walked the face of the earth, he stood up and he pleaded with the sons and daughters of men, even as he pleads with you, dear listener. If you have yet to cease from your own works, from your own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, put your faith in him alone. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Here of the Lord standing up to plead and standing to judge the people, I'm reminded, you don't have to turn there, though I would encourage you to write this down as surely as you're taking notes. I'm reminded of what the Word of God declares in Isaiah. Chapter 66, verse 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Verse 16, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. This is Isaiah 66. Verse 15, 16. Thought me by the sword of his mouth, his word, the Lord pleads with the sons and the daughters of men, and that he will ultimately judge when he standeth to judge the people. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28 declare, and as it is appointed to man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Again, getting back to the flower from a Puritan's garden we read earlier, and the exhortation there concerning Calvin and his Lord, and Spurgeon as he was commenting that, and the question was posed, if Christ returned right now, dear listener, would you be found as you ought to be found? Would you be found as he would want you to be found? Are you living as you ought to live, as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for the blessed hope and glory superior of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Every man in his best state is altogether vanity, unprofitable. For all sin comes short of the glory of God. It is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in princes. And let's continue on here. Looking here turn, well, first of all, verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 3, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, they shall eat fruit of their doings. 3 verses 5 and 6, declare, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 11 of Isaiah 3, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Galatians. Read the book of Galatians, chapter 6. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Turn to Proverbs. Chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to read down through here this entire chapter here, the chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Are you taking time out daily, dear listener, to attend unto the wisdom of God, to bow down your ear to understanding by way of your reading, meditation, and study of the Word of God? Are you and I spending time in prayer and communion with the Lord as we ought to on a regular basis? Verse 2 of Proverbs chapter 5, continuing down through the rest of the chapter. that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Discretion has to do with judgment. In John chapter 7, we're exhorted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to judge righteous judgment. And it's pretty hard to faithfully regard discretion, righteous judgment, if you're not taking time out, if I'm not taking time out to attend unto the wisdom of God and to bow down our ears to his understanding by way of his words. That thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. Thy lips may keep knowledge. Meditate on the things of God, the wisdom of God, the words of God. Verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Verse 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, but thou canst not know them. There were a lot of strange women walking around in Isaiah's day, as we read in the context of Isaiah chapter 3. A lot of strange women whose lips dropped as honeycomb, whose mouths were smoother than oil. All but their end, bitter as wormwood, sharp as two-edged sword. Because at the end of it all, those strange women were going to be met with the two-edged sword of the living God as he stood up to plead in judgment. And their feet would ultimately go down to death, and their steps would take hold on hell. Again, verse 6, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, for ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Verse 8, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Verse 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Verse 10, lest the strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Verse 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Verse 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Again, verse 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. On that note, again, from the Jezebel Spirit, page 7, chapter 1 here, discerning the spirit of Jezebel. This is, again, the spirit of the Jezebel Spirit by Francis Frank of Payne. Discerning the spirit of Jezebel. And I read from it now. We are going to confront a stronghold of immense proportions. It is a way of thinking that exists unchecked in most churches. We will expose and then destroy the hiding places of Jezebel. Understanding the spirit of Jezebel in reference is then made to Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Again, you don't have to turn there. You may if you want, but you don't have to. I would advise you just to write down if you're taking notes, as you ought to be taking notes. Revelation 2, verse 20, and I read, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Francis Frank of Payne goes on. You may challenge my using this scripture and addressing it to American churches. You may argue that not one of the pastors you know has anyone who openly instructs people to commit acts of immorality. I understand your sense of alarm. I agree that you probably know of no one who brazenly preaches that sexual lust and idolatry are not sins. When we speak of Jezebel, we are identifying the source in our society of obsessive sensuality, unbridled witchcraft, and hatred for male authority. To understand the spirit of Jezebel, we must understand the genesis of this personality in the Bible. The first mention of Jezebel is seen in the rebellious, manipulative wife of King Ahab. It was actually this spirit operating through Queen Jezebel, which had caused over 10 million Hebrews, all but 7,000 faithful souls, to bow to Baal. Jezebel caused them to forsake the covenant, destroy the sacred altars, and kill the prophets. See 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 18. This one spirit was almost totally responsible for corrupting an entire nation, and this principality has come full force against our nation. Jezebel is fiercely independent and intensely ambitious for preeminence and control. It is noteworthy that the name Jezebel literally translated means without cohabitation. This simply means she refuses to live together or cohabit with anyone. Jezebel will not dwell with anyone unless she can control and dominate the relationship. When she seems submissive or servant-like, it is only for the sake of gaining some strategic advantage. From her heart, she yields to no one. Bear in mind that the spirit which produced Jezebel existed before its namesake was born. Although we refer to Jezebel as she, this spirit is without gender. However, it is important to note that while men in leadership are the main targets of most principalities, Jezebel is more attracted to the uniqueness of the female psyche and its sophisticated ability to manipulate without physical force. Look for Jezebel to target women who are embittered against men, either through neglect or misuse of authority. This spirit operates through women who, because of insecurity, jealousy, or vanity, desire to dominate others. Jezebel is there behind the woman who publicly humiliates her husband with her tongue and thereafter controls him by his fear of public embarrassment. While she uses every means of sexual perversity known in hell, immorality is not the issue. Control is what she seeks, using the power of sexual passions for the purpose of possessing men. To a woman under the influence of Jezebel, conquering a man need not involve physical contact if a seductive glance of her eyes will capture him. On that note, as you hold your place there, Proverbs chapter 5, turn over to Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7. And as you're turning to Proverbs chapter 7, I'm going to just make note of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16, 9. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars serve their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here in Proverbs chapter 7, starting in verse 1, down through verse 27, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live my laws, the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, supple and of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Her feet abide not in her house. This woman here in Proverbs 7, she had the spirit of Jezebel all over her. She was full of Jezebel, devil. If you recall, Francis Frampton talked about how Jezebel means not wanting to cohabit. Well, this woman here, she's loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Verse 12, now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He is gone, a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, but the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not mine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. She hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I'm reminded also of another proverb here in Proverbs 6, verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Again, thou shalt not commit adultery, Jesus said. Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Marriage is honorable of all, and the bed undefiled before among us and adulterers. God will judge, we're told in the book of Hebrews. But there in Proverbs 7, there in verses 18 and 19, this poor, this strange woman, she says, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He is gone a long journey. Now, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 17, verses 22-36. Again, Luke 17, verses 22-36. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them, for as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered to the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And verse 37, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So, whore, there's that phenomenon known as acrostics, where the letters of a word to find the word whore. Woman, hell-bent on rehearsing evil. That's right. Whore is woman, hell-bent on rehearsing evil. Spiritually, are you as the whore spiritually, or are you hell-bent on rehearsing evil, dear listener? Again, in Matthew chapter 24, 35 through 51, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And meanwhile, the spirit of the whore would say to you, oh, the good man, he's gone on a long journey. He's gone on a long journey. And she would have you to be, the spirit of the whore would have you to be distracted, not watching for your Lord to come, and not living as you ought to live, not looking for the blessed hope and glory superior of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 43 through 51 of Matthew 24. Know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, okay, Jesus talks about this evil servant here, listening as it were to the spirit of the whore. But if that evil servant shall say, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunk, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Verse 51, it shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Back to Proverbs chapter 5. Again, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, dear listener, even as you have yet to be born of the Spirit of God, Jesus said, you must be born again, for a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Behold, you were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. You were not born right the first time, and therefore you must be born again. Born of the Spirit, born spiritually, shaped in holiness, conceived in righteousness, even as it's given unto you from heavens. Come unto Jesus, unto him that loved us, and washed from our sins in his own blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here, continuing on in Proverbs chapter 5, again, in verse 14 down through the end of the chapter, verse 23, I was almost all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoiced with the wife of thy youth. Be as a loving hind and pleasant roe, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Thanks be to God. It's written in Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of all men, especially them that believe to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Again, you have no righteousness of your own, dear listener, as a sinner. You need God's righteousness, and God is willing to impute his righteousness to you only through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Acts 4:12 declares neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, here, page 41, reading from page 41, The Jezebel Spirit by Francis Frank of Payne. Jezebel's spirit is Satan's answer for a woman's protection in a harsh, male-dominated world. Godliness or witchcraft. Jezebel's spirit exploits the offenses a woman may have received from ungodly men, forcing the woman to utilize manipulation, sensuality, and intimidation to make her way through life. Yet it drives the woman beyond mere survival, developing her more intuitive nature until, whether she realizes it or not, the techniques she applies to personal relationships are akin to principles of witchcraft. Now, I'm going to just interject at this point and quote the verse of Scripture from the Word of God. We're told, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. Here, Pope Francis, bring a pain. Entry of this spirit into the woman's life is full of irony. The woman, in her rebellion from the harsh, unloving demands of corrupted male authority, finds shelter and strength in becoming like her oppressor. She herself becomes harsh and unloving. Thus, the very thing she hated in men, she has now become. Let me just say to your listener and interject you once again that I myself have witnessed this on more than one occasion. I've seen this manifested on more than one occasion in my own dealings with women. The defense God offers, again, this is Francis Frank of Payne now, the defense God offers for women, however, is the nature of Christ. Indeed, the antidote for the Jezebel spirit is Jesus' humility. His call to us requires that we crucify our quote-unquote rights and put our list of things which have offended us upon the cross. Thus, Christ makes all things new. Because we follow him, we forgive those who have hurt us and love those who were our enemies. The effect of Christ's love not only offers hope for our antagonists, but is a source of protection, a buffer between us and the harshness of life. Through the way of Christ, we not only find protection, but eternal life. We can become fruitful in the land of our affliction. Praise be. To God, praise be to God, we can become fruitful in the land of our affliction. And let me just ask you, dear listener, are you being fruitful in the land of your affliction? Am I being fruitful in the land of my affliction? Deliverance of spirit and soul. Again, Francis Frank of Payne now. We know many women who once were in bondage to the Jezebel spirit, now have been delivered from its ways. These are women who function today in respected ministries throughout the nation. They no longer feel they must become manlike to have ministries and glorify Christ in their womanhood. The Jezebel spirit, however, is a perverse spirit which seeks to alter women into men and to make men into women. And let me just stop and interject there, dear listener, and that's where the whole thing about the effeminization of men come in. Again, he says, the Jezebel spirit, however, is a perverse spirit which seeks to alter women into men. There's the masculinizing of women, and to make men into women. There's the effeminization of men. All the Jezebel spirit at work. Since the Jezebel spirit offers an illegal strength to the woman, her deliverance will not begin until she can embrace a transition time of weakness. as Christ was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God, 2 Corinthians 13:4. So God will work dependency into the woman's heart until she trusts in the power and goodness of God for her security, not in her manipulation of people. Jezebel's stronghold is rooted in the woman's reactions to fear. She controls because she seeks predictability. She manipulates because she cannot trust. However, the scriptures tell us that perfect love casts out fear because fear hath torment. 1 John 4:18, KJV. Process of deliverance. She needs godly men and women to stand with her in love, especially as she embraces the allotted times of weakness. Remember, the woman under the influence of this spirit is a woman tormented. She has not been properly loved. The Jezebel stronghold is the result. Those who work to help such individuals should acknowledge with thankfulness that the woman who has come for help has already taken the first step toward her deliverance. She recognizes her need. You must confirm to her your commitment to this process of deliverance. There will be stages in her deliverance. The deliverance of the soul is different than the liberation of the woman's spirit. The soul is made of life's events, the memories and hopes, loves and hates, experiences and reactions. It is your responsibility, intellect and emotions. Your spirit, however, is the silent observer when you dream. It is the evaluator of your thoughts, as it is written, "Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him?" 1 Corinthians 2:11. The spirit of the woman must be delivered first. In her innermost being, she must recognize the difference between her hard Jezebelian thoughts and the softness of Christ's way of life. She must identify in her spirit that subtle shift that moves from trusting God to anxiously manipulating other people. Once she receives deliverance in her spirit, she can proceed with deliverance in her soul. The soul must experience renewal in the mind. That is, the full range of the individual's thought life must be cleansed and retrained according to the Word of God. This process takes longer than the initial awakening of the individual's spirit and its subsequent deliverance. In the process of the soul's deliverance, we should recognize that thoughts have their own self-life. They are sustained by our willingness to accept them. No thought or idea graciously accepts death. Thus, thoughts must be taken captive to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, through which strongholds in the mind are pulled down. The individual is well on the road to victory when, instead of becoming insecure when old Jezebel-like patterns emerge, she remains calm, even laughing at the way she used to react. She confidently abides in the peace and character of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And again, Ephesians 6:10, we war not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, and we war not against flesh and blood. And again, when we wage war against the Jezebel spirit, again, we wage war against the spirit, not the woman, albeit the woman who is perhaps in bondage to the spirit, though, there are devils that will certainly accuse you of that. Page 21 of Francis Springer Payne here, The Jezebel Spirit, he makes a very interesting observation relating to the prophet Elijah and the spirit of Elijah, John the Baptist, and how they dealt with their day. And I read here, page 21, Francis Frank Payne, The Jezebel Spirit. Once before, Elijah's spirit had been placed upon another individual. 20, actually, here. I'm going to start here in the middle, page 20. It says, the drama continues. It is an established principle in the spirit realm that one can impart a measure of the spirit side of himself to another without the fullness of his own spirit diminishing. See this when the spirit which was on Moses was placed upon the 70 elders. See Numbers 11:24-25, Deuteronomy 34:9. We can behold this in the process of the father's sins being passed on to the children. See Exodus 34:7. And, of course, we see this in Christ's Spirit dwelling within us. With this concept in mind, we can understand how the spirit of Elijah was sent to minister through the soul of John the Baptist. Once before, Elijah's spirit had been placed upon another individual. You will remember that Elisha, the prophet who succeeded Elijah, received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. See 2 Kings 2, verses 9 and 10. Now, again, the spirit of Elijah was ministering, activating, inspiring, and creating in John the Baptist the same kind of intensity which dwelt in Elijah himself. John was to go as a forerunner before him, the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said of the Baptist, he himself is Elijah who was to come. Matthew chapter 11, verse 14, 15 verses 11, 13. John even looked like Elijah. He had returned, even the spirit of Elijah was commissioned and sent into the world. Like Elijah, John proclaimed the need for repentance wherever he saw sin. One such area was in the adulterous lives of King Herod and his wife Herodias. When John confronted them, Herodias had him imprisoned. See Mark 6, verse 19. Who was this manipulating and controlling the dark spiritual side of Herodias? As Elijah's spirit ministered through John, so Jezebel had surfaced into this world through Herodias. What Jezebel did to Elijah in the wilderness, Herodias now did to John. Jezebel hurled fear and discouragement, which leads to self-doubt and confusion against the servant of God. John the Baptist, who had visibly seen the Spirit descend as a dove upon Christ, who had heard God's audible voice bearing witness that Jesus was the Son of God, was now asking if Jesus truly was the Messiah, or should they look for another? See Matthew chapter 11, verse 3. And a strategic day came when Herod gave a banquet, Mark 6, verse 21. Strategic is the perfect word to describe the timing of this event, for in this war between the spirits of Elijah and himself, Herodias had her daughter dance before Herod, enticing him out of the promise to give whatever she asked. At her mother's request, more truly, at Jezebel's request, she demanded the head of the Baptist. And temporarily, the confrontation between the spirits of these two eternal enemies subsided. And he goes on, Elijah is coming. 2,000 years ago, Jesus stated that the ministry of Elijah was not over. He promised Elijah is coming and will restore all things, Matthew 17, verse 11. Malachi the prophet also wrote, behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Elijah is coming to war and restore. He came before the great day, and he is returning before the terrible day of the Lord. Remember, however, the principle mentioned earlier, one can impart the measure of the spirit side of himself to another without the fullness of his own spirit diminishing. God did with Elijah, Elisha, and John the Baptist. The Lord is raising up an Elijah company, the prophets, I mean preachers, spirit-filled men, who have been sent forth to prepare the way for the return of Christ. Let it also be known that if Elijah is coming before Jesus returns, so also is Jezebel. Indeed, do you not see her in our land in the abundance of witchcraft and harlotries? Do you not hear her brazen voice rejecting God's authority and exalting her rebellion and feminism? Have you not beheld her causing even God's bondservants to commit fornication? Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Seeing Jezebel so blatantly manifest herself only confirms that the spirit of Elijah is also here bringing repentance and raising up warring prophets to be preachers throughout our land. In fact, if you are going to serve God during the reign of a Jezebel, the warfare itself will thrust you into a prophetic anointing simply that you may survive. And again, on that note, I just want to emphasize, okay, again, if you're going around and you're saying, thus saith the Lord, and you're quoting anything that is not written from Genesis to Revelation, that devil of Jezebel does not fear your words one bit, because your words are not the words of God. Okay. Just want to make that clear for any of you charismatics out there who claim to be prophets. Again, like I said, anytime you're reading, you know, a book written by a man, you need to be able to take in the meat and spit out the bones. But again, this book by Francis Frankenpaint has got much, much, much more meat to take in than it does any bones to spit out, for sure. But anyhow, continuing on here, Again, we need to be on the offensive and not on the defensive. It's the Church of the Living God purchased by his blood. We need to resist the devil. Watch him flee. Submitting ourselves to the Lord daily. Here, Francis Fram Payne's book, The Jezebel Spirit, he makes a connection with the spirit of Jezebel and the spirit of sodomy. And I read, releasing souls through prayer. That was our first experience with the spirit of Jezebel, though not the last. In 1985, during a time of counseling, we discerned that this spirit was the controlling influence directing the lesser demons, the devils of homosexuality and lesbianism. The Lord instructed us to war against Jezebel, and in 1 month's time, three people were delivered from these perversions. The next month, the local cable network removed the Playboy channel. People needing deliverance from sexual fantasies began calling us for help. Even pastors and their wives, without knowing we were doing warfare, were calling to confess sins and receive deliverance. By focusing our warfare against this Jezebel, many in her grip were being set free. At the same time, the warfare increased considerably against both my family and our church. A demon of the devil named Fault Finder, which we did not discern until months later, brought division and conflict into the congregation. Certain people whom we loved deeply suddenly turned against us with unexplained hatred. Suspicion mounted in the church, and a time of destabilization occurred. Nevertheless, we continued warring against this spirit, convinced our warfare was effective. One night, however, the spirit of Jezebel appeared at the foot of our bed. I felt paralyzed and unable to speak or even cry for help. The spirit, which had alienated even our close friends, was now standing before me, unfiltered by a human body. I felt as if all life had been literally drained from my body, that only Christ's life sustained me. No audible words were spoken, but this principality put the following words into my mind: continue to pray as you are, and I will kill you and the members of your church. The spirit faded, but even after it had apparently left, I was barely able to move. My mind was quagmired with discouraging thoughts. Why should I pray for these people? Why suffer when on any given day, I don't know who will be. Eventually, the Holy Spirit intervened, and the oppression broke. Now, the fact is, and I believe I shared this testimony once before, maybe part one of this series on the woman, the role of the church. But the fact is, when I first lived here in Staten Island back in 2003, 2004, and I lived below this current gentleman that I worked for, and that I basically, he was my landlord then. Even when I first moved back up to Staten Island in 2014, he was my landlord again. This guy Frank, he was married to this lady Marie, and I mentioned about how she was having her issues back there in 2003 to 2004. She was having her issues with the devil of Jezebel there, and how when I was living below them, the one night I heard what, wow, I saw what looked like a very despicable-looking thing in the middle of the night. I had an experience, you could say, somewhat similar to what this Francis Springer Payne testified of in the context, though a little bit different, obviously. I saw what looked like a very despicable-looking image of something at the bottom of my bed one night, and I heard literally there was sounded like the voice of this one preacher that I had been listening to, this one pastor friend. I literally heard what sounded like his voice then say to me so many words, if you get married before your time, this is what you're going to get. And next thing I knew, this despicable-looking thing, man, it jumped me. And I was wrestling with this devil in the middle of the night. And I went to say the name of Jesus, and this surely is no more than I got done saying in the name of Jesus, man. I literally saw this spirit, this devil, ascend through the ceiling of my studio apartment that night, because obviously it was in the place above me that ultimately that devil was doing its ultimate work at the time. But yeah, just the devil, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will flee. But yeah, the Word of God makes it very, very clear. In death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20, verse 14 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus Christ declared, this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John chapter 1 declares, he came unto his own received him not. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Therefore hath he mercy unto me, who will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. For what if God, willing to shew his wrath, and to make his power to endure much long suffering, the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction? Proverbs 16, verse 4 declares, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. John 3, 27 declares, a man can receive nothing except to be given unto him from heaven. Dear listener, as it's given unto you, come unto Jesus, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, justified before God, just as if I'd never sinned. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Word of God declares, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. To say God and the Lord damn simultaneously in a moment of rage, to say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ loosely is a curse word, joking around with your friends. These are ways you blaspheme God. You blaspheme the very name of God. You blaspheme God. You yourself are a blasphemer. Keep the whole law and yet offend at one point. He is guilty of all. Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God equates ungodly, unholy hatred in the heart for your neighbor with murder. Again, thou shalt not commit adultery. Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart, Jesus said. Thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is as idolatry. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, there's a time when your mom and dad told you to do something, and it was in your best interest to do it, but you didn't do it. You didn't listen. Disobedient to your parents. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Lord, thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate him, and shewing mercy to the thousands that love him and keep his commandments. Oh, you may not bow down, as it were, to a statue or an image of Buddha or any of the gods of Hinduism or Mary or even Jesus, and you shouldn't be bowing down to statues of Jesus either. Oh, but you do bow down to that image. That's an image you see when you look in the mirror. It's called humanism. It's called worshiping and serving yourself as the creature more than the creator. Most high God. And thou shalt have no other gods before me, thus saith the Lord. Again, who, what is your God? If he's anyone other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Holy One of Israel. Since he was manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you are an idolater. If he's anyone other than the triune God of heaven and earth, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. If there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 declares, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified it not as God, and were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like a too corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, creeping things. Obvious here, as you read here, that the carnal, the sinful, natural, unregenerate soul of man is as spiritually a whore, hellbent woman, hellbent on rehearsing evil, is hellbent on rehearsing evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 tells us, because sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Verse 24 of Romans chapter 1 down through the end of the chapter. Wherefore God also giving them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And again, interject and just say here, this is again why you have so many so-called different versions, translations of the Bible, because men are hell-bent on changing the truth of God, the very word of God, into a lie, even as they worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. But this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. There's the sodomite lesbian. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving to themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. There's the male, sodomite, homosexual. And even as they did not like to obtain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Be filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So again, even as it is given unto you from heaven, your listener, repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures, as God manifest in the flesh, coming again, and you best be ready. And you best be ready, because ultimately, boast not yourself tomorrow, for you know not what day may bring forth. Today can be the day that death comes your way. And therefore, prepare to meet thy God. And until next time, this has been another edition of the Word of the King. This is Brother Timothy Groover saying, God bless you and yours.
All right, Tim. Since you didn't have open mic time earlier, there's a couple questions on the earlier stuff that you had, and I had one question on the actual message. So while we're opening the mics for the other Brother Six here, I have a couple other questions for you.
There he is.
It was a good message, but I do have this question for you, okay?
Very good. Tell him good.
Okay. First off,
right.
on the song, who was that that wrote the song that you were – can you spell the name?
Elizabeth,
E-L-I-Z-A-B-E-T-H-C,
middle initial C, Fain, C-L-E, P is in Peter, H-A-N-E.
Okay, and then the second question I had that had to do with when you were talking about those different websites, the one you said, I think it was Brighton, or B-R-I-G-H-T-O-N, is that right?
Brighton, BRIGHTEON.com.
Okay, because I want to make sure the folks got that right, okay? And then finally, you were talking about the acrostic there on the word whore. You want to repeat that again, what that stood for?
Woman hell-bent on rehearsing evil. And I might go ahead and also emphasize that whoremonger is men obsessed, never getting enough evil rehearsed up from the whore. Woman hell-bent on rehearsing evil.
Okay. Well, I've got an acrostic for you, Tim, okay?
Let's hear it.
He obviously left you basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yes, basic instructions before leaving Earth, that's right.
Yeah, but the first part, holy, he obviously left you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got you.
He obviously left you basic instructions before leaving Earth. Amen. All right, Six, your mic is open if you want to ask any questions or give any comments.
All right, well, great message tonight. So when you were talking about those spirits being on you, you actually see those spirits?
Oh, I actually saw a sense through the ceiling of my studio apartment, yeah.
Wow.
Now, one of the interesting things about that, too, though, the timing in which that happened as well, was that I was working at the time at Dunkin' Donuts, and I was actually taking a chewable pill for my epilepsy called Dilantin. And I did not know at the time you would take the chewable pills like that with the caffeinated coffee, which I happened to be doing on pretty much a regular basis at the time.
Uh-huh.
That actually doubled the effect of the pill on your system. So I was actually high on Dilantin at that particular time when all that stuff was happening, too. And the interesting thing about that is they talk about how the word for sorcery is pharmakia, which sounds like pharmacy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the timing of that was very interesting, too.
Wow, that's interesting right there. Are you definitely fed us like always? Wow. Okay. Well, great message. Great message. And Happy New Year.
No, Happy New Year to you, Charles.
Okay. All right, I'm complete.
All right. Now, Six, while we're here with you, would you give the listeners two pieces of information? First off, how they could donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and secondly, how they could get and listen to shows just like this one on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right. Well, to make a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have two options. You can go to the PayPal. The email address you'll enter is SIXEYES, digit number 6, @gmail.com. For the PayPal users, that's For the PayPal users, that is email address SIXEYES, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. And for the Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. Once again, for the Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Now, to catch the word of the King on a Monday, on a Sunday, or whenever you want the word of the King, you go to your podcast portion on your phone. And in the search, you type in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO. In the top right corner, press subscribe, and you can have the word on the King on a Thursday, on a Friday, Saturday. All right, that's how you do it.
All right, and while we got Six with us, we'll let him close us in a word of prayer tonight and then remind everybody to join us tomorrow for the Wednesday night Bible study as we get the gospel bus rolling out. And then, of course, continuing on our study on Thursday as we've been researching the information that happened on the Ashtabula Bridge disaster, the Ashtabula Horror, 1876, on December 29th. We're studying that out. And then, of course, the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show this coming Friday as we continue studying David. So, all right, Six, close us in a word of prayer, and we're out of here tonight.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for all that you do and continue to do for us. We ask that you watch over each and every one of us. God help you keep us strong, taking the evils away of the world. This we pray, amen. On Wednesday, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, the Bible study, the gospel bus. Enjoy the gospel for the Bible Wednesday night Bible study. 7 p.m. Or Pacific. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. We'll catch you next Tuesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Take care.